Last month, the Republican-led legislature overrode Governor Roy Cooper's veto of House Bill 467. The law caps damage awards in private nuisance lawsuits filed by people who live near forestry and agricultural operations, such as hog farms. But some lawyers and scholars say the law may not withstand judicial scrutiny because it deprives people of one of the most basic legal rights. Rusty Jacobs reports.
Disputes between farmers and their neighbors go back a long way.
If you were to go back and read Blackstone's Commentaries on the Laws of England, which was the textbook essentially of English common law that our founding fathers would have used.
Professor Reich Longus directs the Environmental Law and Policy Clinic at Duke University School of Law.
You would see in there a quote that says, you know, a person who keeps a hog or other noisome animal so close to his neighbor as to incommode him shall be liable as a nuisance.
Longest also spent 14 years as a special deputy attorney general with the North Carolina Justice Department's Environmental Protection Section, which included taking injunction actions against hog farms. In the 1990s, hog farming in North Carolina really took off as growers like Ronald Dizell turned from planting tobacco to the more profitable business of raising swine. Dizell owns 8 hog houses in Warsaw, North Carolina, in Duplin County.
I have about 50. It goes from 5,000 to 6,000 hogs that most of the time.
Dizell is a contract grower for Smithfield Foods, the pork producer that is now a subsidiary of the Hong Kong-based WH Group Limited. He's known as a finishing farmer. He gets hogs at around 8 to 10 weeks old when they're around 60 pounds each, and then raises them until they're about 20 weeks old and 300 pounds apiece. Then they're carted off to slaughter. Like other hog farmers, Ezel uses the CAFO system, or confined animal feeding operation. Around 700 hogs each are held in long, low-lying barns, 24 to a pen. The hog manure drops through slats in the barn floor.
The water comes in under the ground and comes up to these pipes and goes into your flush tanks. And they've got a timer in
there. The waste is then flushed into large lagoons filled with reddish-brown liquid, which is sprayed as fertilizer onto crops. The emergence and standardization of the CAFO system in the 1980s helped trigger massive growth of hog farming in North Carolina, with odd results. Law professor Reich Longest.
The number of farms was greatly decreasing in North Carolina that had pigs. And the number of pigs per farm was greatly increasing.
So over a 14-year period from around 1983 to 1997, the number of swine farms dropped from around 20,000 to below 3,000, while the number of hogs went from a little more than 1 million to today's figure of around 10 million. That change and the lagoons used to treat the increased waste did not go unnoticed by longtime residents of North Carolina towns in Bladen, Sampson, Duplin, and other counties down east.
There's no place I'd rather live than here in Duplin County. Where I live here, I've got 2 sisters and 2 brothers within hollering distance of where I live.
Devon Hall Sr. is 62 and has lived in Duplin County his entire life. His house sits 300 yards from where he was raised, and his siblings live next door. Out back behind his neatly tended home and green yard is a long picnic table made out of old railroad ties. But the solid table hasn't been used in years.
Hey, nobody want to have a cookout because of the odor.
Hall's property abuts a crop field that belongs to a large-scale hog farmer where liquid from the farm's lagoon is sprayed. Hall says losing the ability to hold traditional family gatherings on his property is significant. In the Pender County town of Watha, Terry Papp Adams has also had to alter his routine because of a neighboring Smithfield farm. Adams works on cars in his spare time out behind his double-wide in a mobile home park, where he has lived with his wife and children for 20 years. His yard is separated from a hog farm spray field by a line of trees and a dirt road.
I'd be out here working on my cars, and sometimes it'd be so bad I'd have to go in the house because it'd be like misting on you.
Adams says he would have put picnic furniture out back if not for the spraying.
Reddish-looking gunk-like, and I had a black car, and you could see when it fall on it, you can see like a little dot in the middle and like a little greasy ring around it. And me and my wife, sometimes when the wind blowing right, you can't even sit on the porch.
Why is that?
Because of the smell.
But with the passage of House Bill 467 and the subsequent veto override, residents like Adams and Devon Hall Sr. cannot seek more than fair market value of their homes in a private nuisance lawsuit, which, without the financial incentive, makes it unlikely a lawyer would take on such a case. State Representative Jimmy Dixon, a primary sponsor of the legislation, says predatory lawyers are the problem.
You're sitting on your front porch one day, and Jimmy Dixon's your neighbor, and you and I have been friends for 15 or 16 years. So a shiny car pulls up in front of your house, gets out, comes up and introduces himself to you, say, hey, aren't you tired of Jimmy's flies? Aren't you tired of Jimmy's odors? We might be able to get you $90,000.
Dixon is a Duplin County Republican, a farmer, and chairs the House Agriculture Committee. He's a recipient of campaign funds from Smithfield Foods, but so are some Democrats who oppose the legislation. Smithfield Foods currently is being sued by hundreds of North Carolina plaintiffs for private nuisance. But an amendment to House Bill 467 made sure the current litigation would not be affected by the new law. The question is, going forward, what happens to people who live next door to not just hog farms, but any agricultural or forestry operation? Michelle Nolan is a clinical professor of environmental law at Duke University. She says the new law is too broad and vague about what activities it protects.
We're talking about an incredible restriction of people's scaling back of individual property rights. At the same time, we're talking about expanding the universe of facilities that are protected. And I think that that's a real dangerous slope that we're on that the General Assembly has not adequately addressed.
Nolan says the environmental advocacy and legal community may challenge the constitutionality of House Bill 467. That's something Warsaw resident Devon Hall Sr. thinks is a good idea.
How is it that you can draft a bill and have it and pass a bill that allows one person to harm another and that individual's harm not being able to sue for damages?
But hog farmer Jeff Spedding thinks it's best to work things out neighbor to neighbor, not in the courts.
With, you know, growing economies comes change, and sometimes it hits a little too close to home. And, you know, and we all have to just be willing to go roll with the punches from time to time.
And so, despite economic and technological change, the age-old intractable tension between farmer and neighbor remains. Rusty Jacobs, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.